Hey guys, I'm your host Olivia and you're listening to BCT. We are a Christian podcast that enables you guys to hear lots of different testimonies from different people in my church. Welcome to the second episode of season two. I'm joined today with Beth.
Hi Beth. You're right.
I'm good, thank you. Guys, this is our third attempt at recording this intro. So we're a little bit
Third time's a charm.
On the edge today. One of those Fridays, I reckon. Right, so tell me a bit about yourself, your likes, your family, and what your day typically looks like.
So, my name's Beth, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm 31. I live with my husband. We've been together for 16 years, married for 6.
Nice.
We have a little boy called Matthew who's 4 and is probably the smartest person I know. I'm a stay-at-home mum, so I feel very grateful that I can be. So typically my day is spent running around after him. It looks a little bit different now that he's actually at school. I can fill it a bit more with stuff that I like doing, like going for walks and coffee with friends, reading. Yeah.
Oh, and he's very cute, isn't he, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. I am biased, but yeah.
He is very cute. And I walk into Sunday school club and be like, hi, Matthew. And he always, like, has got a big smile on his face.
He loves it here. Really, really loves it.
That's a credit to you guys. Yeah. He's so lovely. Yeah. So, what about your childhood then? Other than your child, what about your childhood? What did that look like?
So I grew up just outside of London by Heathrow Airport. I got 2 older brothers. I am the baby, but nice. I'm the baby by quite a lot, really. So one of my brothers, there's 19 years between us, being my eldest brother, and then me and my middle brother, there's 11 years. So quite a big age gap, but yeah. We are still really, really close.
Nice.
Always have been, really. I guess because there's like such a massive age gap, we've always been like having different lives, going through like different life stages. So we never really had like anything to fight about or anything. So it's quite nice, really.
Yeah.
We live with my mum and my dad. They were together for 43 years until my mum passed away 3 years ago from cancer.
Gosh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a bit, yeah. So, yeah. My childhood was okay, really, for the most part. My mum was actually what you would call a high-functioning alcoholic. So when I was a child, I didn't really know any different. I just kind of thought it was, like, completely normal. And then it was only really as I became a teenager that I kind of realised, like, when you start going to other people's houses and you realise, oh, actually, like, this isn't normal. I'd say high functioning because she would still go to work every day. She'd still like cook for us and do all the cleaning and everything. But she would like get home from work and then she would kind of like drink 3 to 6 bottles of wine a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. So, so it was like that pretty much. Yeah. Like my whole life until I got pregnant with Matthew and then she stopped. She said she knew that we would never let her see Matthew if she carried on. And then, so I had like the last 3 years of her life were like literally the best. Like she was my best friend. Like we did everything together. Like it was great. So although like parts of it were really, really tough, like now I only have like I have really good memories to like look back on. So like that's quite nice.
That's important.
Yeah. So yeah.
Good. So then let's go into when you became a Christian. I'd love to hear that.
So I grew up basically kind of in and out of church. So my mum was a Christian, but my dad wasn't. My dad was really encouraging, loved that my mum went to church, loved that I went to church, liked church whenever he went, but said he loves the idea of being a Christian and really wishes it was true. But there's just something holding him back.
Okay.
But he was always really supportive and still is now. And I went to like a Christian primary school and a Christian secondary school. So I knew the message, like, and I knew all the stories. And I would like talk to God all the time and pray all the time. But I don't think I properly became a Christian and like properly accepted Jesus into my life until I was about 15.
Okay.
So I really wasn't coping very well with what was going on at home. I was really kind of really sad, really angry about like sort of like everything. And it all kind of came to like a bit of a head. And I just remember like really like crying out and being like, God, Jesus, like, if you're there and like if you really care about me and like if you exist, then like I need you to like show me, I need your help, because I can't like I can't feel like this anymore. I can't keep doing this, like I don't know what else to do. And then this is gonna make me sound about 100, but back then, back in my day, everyone had a house phone. I had to actually explain to Matthew the other day what a house phone was. I know.
That's scary.
I know. And so that went. And my mum had like this lifelong best friend, but her children were the same age as my brothers. So I knew of them, but I didn't really know them. And it was her daughter phoning to talk to me. And she'd just been saved. And she said, like, oh, I hope you don't mind me calling, but your mum was chatting to my mum, and she just said, like, you've started, me and Pete at the time were going to, like, a youth group, a church youth group with all our friends, and we got really into it. So they were talking about that, and I just had this, like, overwhelming urge to just phone you, to just say that God loves you, and that he can help you and all your worries, but you've got to give them all to him. So yeah, that was it basically. That like I didn't necessarily like, I know, I don't think I even knew that there was like a prayer to pray, say to like welcome Jesus into your life. But I just remember literally that night we were going to youth group and I had to get off the phone to her because Pete had come to pick me up with his dad. And I just remember like being really, really calm and just praying and just being like, yeah, like I give it all to you. Like, please like help me, like definitely like come into my life. And yeah,
amazing.
That was it. Yeah, never look back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you... Sorry, I'm adding this now, I think. Did you find that difficult then, I guess, going, even though you had been to youth and been, like, doing Christian things, did you find it, like, difficult to do that shift of being, not being a Christian now, obviously, and being a Christian? Or did you feel like it was just a smooth...
It never felt... I think it never felt like I wasn't a Christian before. It just felt like life... I just didn't feel so angry about everything. And, like, it felt like a big weight had got, like, lifted from me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I never really felt like I wasn't a Christian. And if anyone asked me before, I would have said I was a Christian.
Okay.
But I feel like now, like, looking back, that definitely felt like the turning point.
Yeah.
But I think when you're in it, it doesn't really feel any different.
Yeah.
But I just felt a bit more special, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. So obviously you're not from here, you're from England, really, just outside London. So when you moved here, what were some of the difficulties or challenges you faced and how did you overcome them?
So I think there were like two kind of big difficulties for me. The first one was obviously like leaving all our friends and family behind. I remember when the decision to move to Wales was very quick. So before we were living at Pete's grandma's house and we knew when she passed away, we'd need to move. So she passed away on the Sunday. She passed away on the Saturday. We spent all day Sunday panicking, being like, oh, we actually can't afford to buy around here. We'll move a bit further out. Oh, we can't afford there. We'll move further out. Oh, yeah, we can't afford anywhere in, like, the southeast of England. So we're panicking a bit, like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. And we had one friend that lives in Wales, lives in Bridgend. And so I was like, well, I'll just have a look, because at least then we'll know someone.
Yeah.
And then realised that we could afford it around here. So that was great. And then I'd be really, really excited about it. And then I'd be crying. And it got to, like, the Monday, and then Pete just turned around to me and he was like, right, that's it. You've got to either get all on board or not be on board, because I am only as happy as you're happy and I'll just be happy wherever you are. So can you decide where that's going to be? Like, he gave me some real tough love. And then after that, I was like, okay, like, we've got to do this. So we just will. And we hadn't really found a church that was like, we felt like was ours. Mm. We kind of were going to Pete's, the one that Pete grew up in, so his mum and dad still go there. But it always felt a bit like I was going to his church or like his childhood church or their church. So we knew like number one on our list was to find a church, and we found this one, and we literally couldn't have asked for a better church, really. From like the very first time that we came, which actually I don't know if I have said this to you, but it was when you got baptized.
No way.
Yeah, that was our first time we came.
No, oh my gosh. Yeah. I bet you were like, whoa, what is going on?
obviously I had no idea who you were, and then you were crying, and then your dad was crying, and I was like, oh, he must be so involved with the people in this church. Isn't that so sweet? And then I think you said something about him being, like, a pastor or something, and I was like, oh.
That is funny.
Like, it connected. So, like, your mum was sitting behind us, and she came over to us and was like, where are you guys from? We said London. She was like, oh, you can probably hear it in my accent, but I'm from London too.
You're probably like, no, we can't hear it.
I said it to her, and I was like, you walked away, and I slipped up here, and I was like, but she sounds so Welsh.
Bless it.
So, like, yeah, like, it felt like everyone, like, was so willing to welcome us and come chat to us, and there's like so many nice things going on, like coffee morning and like the men's breakfast, the ladies lunch, like it's just that like helped so much, like it's really really good. So yeah, and the second thing is I am like a massive worrier.
Okay.
Where I overthink about everything, and it was getting to the point where I would not do anything alone, and like my brother would always take the mick out of me, and he'd be like, oh, you're just such a princess, like I wouldn't top up my car with petrol, I'd make my dad do it. If I needed to get bread, I'd bring up my dad and be like, do you want to come to Tesco's with me? Like if I took Matthew to the park on my own, that was like a massive like achievement for me. And then I moved here and I lost like all my backup. So like I lost, yeah, like all the people that I could bring to be like, do you want to do something? And they'd be like, oh, you know best, you won't do anything on our own. Like I lost all of that. So then I literally just had to, because otherwise I was going to end up just staying indoors all the time. And then came to church again and was reminded that really I'm never on my own, because God is always with you. And be like, why am I stressing? Because if I feel like, if I get panicky because I'm like, oh, I don't want to go here on my own, well, I'm not on my own, and I've always got someone to talk to because I can always just talk to God.
Yeah. No, that's encouraging to hear though, isn't it? And I think a lot of people struggle with that, don't they? Yeah. I've got a couple of friends who can't even go to the toilet on their own, like
that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, it's important that we know that God is always there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. Right, last question, I think, anyway, unless I poke something in. What piece of advice would you have loved for someone to tell you that you want to give to your younger self?
I actually found this so hard. Like, I really thought about this for ages, because I was like, I just don't know. Because I think, actually, the piece of advice that I would give to my younger self, I did get in the end, is don't waste your time worrying. You can't change anything. Just always give your worries to God. I think I'd go back and tell myself that.
Yeah. It's surprising how many quotes there are, aren't there?
Yeah.
You just need to look for them. Or they pop up sometimes, and I'm like, whoa, it's just needing that.
Yeah, I love it when that happens. Yeah. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah, like your phone call. Like, you asked God and
he provided. Always provides.
Did you know kind of that was the sign straight away?
As soon as she said like, I just really feel like God's telling me to, and I was like, wow. And like, I don't think I could even tell you what the rest of our phone call was about, because I just can't, like, I was just in like so much like shock afterwards, but yeah,
that's incredible. Right, thank you so much for coming on, Beth.
That's all right.
Thank you guys listening once again to another episode of PCT. Let us know what you thought of this episode and what you want us to hear discussed or what questions you want me to ask. You can follow us on all the social media platforms, like, subscribe, Spotify, YouTube, whatever we're on, search us up. Even if you search us on Safari, I think it'll come up now. So search us up, let us know. We'd love feedback from you. Thanks for listening to another episode, and bye for now.